This meeting is now being recorded.
One, two, one, two, one, two. Okay, folks, good morning. Good morning, or as we say in Australia, good morning. For all of your sins, folks, I have the microphone again this morning. Yeah, so I apologise. And I'm hungover. So we'll see how this goes this morning. Hey, I've changed the configuration of the room. I hope you like it. At least you get to eyeball somebody. We might have a little bit of a game or something later on about it. But hey, we're going to try and change it up a bit. A little bit of feedback we had yesterday from folks was the smaller group thing worked, able to participate a little bit more openly. So I'm going to force you to do that again this morning. But importantly, one administrative issue to take care of. I did go to the trouble last night of... putting this together. For those of you that played yesterday, you remember that we have a bounty on new speakers speaking. So I'm going to put this up. Identify yourself as a new speaker when you speak today and we'll cross them off. Get 10 and there's some drinks on the bar tonight. All right? On behalf of the Domain Name Association, and hopefully I can if we can twist. Akram's not here now, I don't think so. Yes, that's a definite, we can do that. So yes, please make sure you identify yourself as a first-time speaker if you get up to the microphone. Let's try to get some deep participation from everybody today. I do apologise for those listening in as we're going to break out into small groups, at least just for a small part of the time this morning. Here's Akram. Akram, it's now $1,500 you're putting forward at the bar, mate. Sorry, but no, a thumbs up. Jeez, wait, let's keep going here, folks. Let's keep it going. So yeah, I apologise to those listening at home because we are going to break into small groups and it may not be conducive to hearing, but we are going to come back and present our findings to everybody. Alrighty, so we had our objectives. What I did overnight was go through and try to group those objectives into topics. And what I want to do this morning is to break into smaller groups to explicitly discuss those topics. That way, we can't miss the objectives. We're going to force ourselves to talk through those objectives. Okay? What's going to happen is small groups discuss a topic, each one discussing different topics, come back, you'll appoint a spokesperson that will present that topic and your findings, and we will openly debate that topic for another period of time. We'll go through each group and do that. Then we're going to have a break for coffee, which I need, and then we're going to have the registries and registrar discussion, where we're going to put on the boxing gloves, got a little MMA thing here, and sort it out. But let's have some open and frank discussion between the registries and the registrars. We've got a couple of points already on the board that both have brought up that will start the conversation. And we're going to have ICANN in the room that we can use to help adjudicate when we need it. All right, so that's the format of the morning. That'll take us through to lunch. Then it's going to be somewhat of a closed session after lunch where ICANN will leave and we'll be left to our own devices. Okay? Paul, have I got that right? All right, thumbs up. Okay, so, as I said, going to get you away from your laptops just for a little bit this morning, guys. I know it's painful first thing, and you've got the hangover going on like me. It's going to be even more so. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to walk past your table and give you a number between 1 and 4. Group 1 will go down this area here. You could even utilise the tables, although people have their laptops at them. You'll work it out yourselves. Okay. Group 1, Group 2, Group 3, Group 4. Does that work? Alrighty, don't ask me to do that again. I think it's 1 through 4 in an anti-clockwise direction. Alrighty, so I'm going to go past. Try and do it as quick as I can. This row here, you're a Group 1. A Group 2, 3, 4, we're going to need another 4. 4, 1, 2, 3, starting to miss a line, 4, and then we'll do 1, 2, 3, 4 at the back. All right? Did everybody get their number? Don't ask me to do that again. All righty, so I will come over and tell you your topics. This is the fun part. You don't know what you're going to be discussing. But don't be discouraged. If someone else is discussing a topic you really wanted to, hold. You're going to get a chance to do that when we bring it back to the group. Now, all the objectives are listed with the topic you have. It is your job, even as a person that hasn't thought about this particular topic before, to provide some input. Carry the ball forward. Come back to the group with something concrete, something usable that we can either discuss or some action items we can assign ourselves. Remember, we want to be able to tick off these objectives. Make sense? Alrighty, so we're almost there. I'll come around and give you your topics. You break into your groups. Your job, until I come and give you a topic, is to introduce yourselves as best you can. They're big groups, I get it. As best you can, and appoint a spokesperson. Maybe sitting at... maybe we just do seats. Do we just do that? No, let's not do that. Let's get into groups. Because you all sat next to your friends. I don't want to do that. Alright, so break into groups now. Appoint a spokesperson. Make sure there is at least 2 ICANN people with you. So ask the ICANN folks to identify themselves. And if they have more than 2, try and find out if they can spread themselves across the room. All right, we really want ICANN to be a part of these conversations as well. Okay, make sense? All right, folks, let's go about it. It is now 10 past the hour. I will come and speak to all of you. You've got half an hour. Half an hour. Thank you.
guys. We're at three.
Yeah.
Ah, that corner. Okay.
Everybody, I've been told I have to read out the topics for everybody playing at home. Okay, so I'm just going to quickly go around. We have universal acceptance here, Rich, is that right? Universal acceptance. They said they're going to do better than everybody else, and they're going to get 25% of the bar tab. All right, just hand it to them. Thanks, Brett, for that idea. Second round is over here in the future of the industry. With these guys at the back, we have domain name awareness and impact to consumers. And Staten, what do you got, buddy? Commercial meetings, right. How do we do this better, faster, stronger, right? All right, keep going, guys. You've got another 25 minutes. Thank you. Appoint your spokesperson and come back to the group, please. Let's go. Back to your seats, folks. Back to your seats, please. Good job, everybody. Some good discussion. Walked around and visited each group, and it was great to see people without laptops. And most were engaged, so that was okay. Now let's see what results we got. So let's start over here. This must be group four. Domain name awareness and impact to consumers. Who is the spokesperson for that group? Sir. Please take a spot at the microphone here. And now, do you need your cheat sheet? Do you want me to bring it over? I'll bring it over. Let me bring it.
I'm Andrew. Andrew from Dot Design.
Are you new?
New. It's the first time I've spoken at this forum.
There you go. Woo!
So we had the topic of domain name awareness and impact to consumers. I'll do a self-critical note that we didn't decide a lot of ownership on a lot of these tasks. We didn't say ICANN needs to do this, the DNA needs to do this, registrars need to do this. I think it was a lot more kind of these are the issues and let's figure out who can best impact them. So we talked about brand adoption and getting brands to move, and we heard some folks that work with brands saying that it was the IP lawyers that started the new TLD initiative, and now they need to get it to their marketing department, but their marketing department has a lot of other marketing to do. So it was an idea to get brands involved and kind of context around why that hasn't happened yet. We talked about influence as educating on the value of domain names, so infiltrating groups like bloggers and people that have influence within a given network and having them talk about why your own domain name is important as opposed to just a social profile. We talked a lot about advertising agencies. So the brand talk kind of morphed into an advertising agency talk, and we talked about how registries could engage advertising agencies, how ICANN and the DNA could potentially infiltrate those networks, but we kind of identified them as a really key piece of the puzzle.
So is that more about influencing the influencers?
Yeah.
Like those that
so
are putting the ads up on
the one-to-many approach, like talking to one advertising agency that could talk to a lot of clients who would then influence a lot of consumers. We heard about a frustration of kind of general channel work of registries doing promotions that point to registrars that are then educating consumers about TLDs that they weren't intended to promote with this particular campaign. So an example of .guitars campaign leading to a .co suggested domain. So I guess the issue there, figuring out some sort of confluence around the channel and how to streamline marketing activities when we are doing them. There was a suggestion of a kind of a marketing-focused summit as opposed to maybe what we're doing now, which could look at things like domain name fatigue. Registrars, I think we all know, are overwhelmed. Even not as a registrar, I know that my channel is very overwhelmed. So looking at getting those marketing players in a room to figure out how they can address that fatigue. And we have some general things. I don't know if I know how to speak on things like consider customers and end users. That's kind of a general topic. Educating the media. We talked about that article that was written. Where was it published? CNN picked it up. That kind of maligned new TLDs.
Blue code,
yeah. We talked about that article and how we need to educate the media as another stakeholder, maybe separate from ad agencies. And I'll stop there and let anyone else from Team 4.
So let me ask you this, and let's put it to the wider room, right? Because, guys, this is your chance, if you weren't in that topic, to speak up, because maybe this is something you want to talk to. So thanks, Andrew, but really, how do we get something from this? Whose responsibility is domain name awareness? Whose responsibility is it? Registrars? Because they're the ones that interact with the consumers? Is it the registries because they own the brand of the product? Is it ICANN's responsibility to get out there and promote this thing that they started? What they started, that they allowed to happen? Got to be careful. Please, Volker, let's get up to the microphone here, guys, because we've got people playing at home. Not a new speaker.
Sorry, I won't get you any free drinks, sorry. I think it's a bit of all. We cannot assign blame or responsibility to any one party. Everybody has to contribute. The registrants that register a new domain name, that want people to find them under the new domain name, the registries have to find anchor tenants, have to find market their TLD, and the registrars that want to sell the TLDs as well. It's a combined effort, and I think it should also be a coordinated effort. So everybody needs to join hands, kumbaya, and work together.
So I like that, right? So stay at the mic. So coordinated effort. So what is the forum for this coordination? Now, I think there was a suggestion from Andrew's group that they said that there should be a marketing forum, like get together, right? Maybe that's been brought up by that group over there. I don't know when we talked about how to have a product-based forum. But that sounds like to me to be a good idea.
Well, to build on that, every registrar has their own marketing approach. Getting the registrants involved is probably very difficult because there are so many individual ones. And I think the ICANN meetings are the best venue to have this discussion. There should be some time set aside at each meeting to have a discussion of how to best market, share ideas, share some things which might be considered confidential, but would help others to increase the general awareness of the new DTLDs. I think we're past the stage where everyone's working on its own. We need to coordinate. We need to combine our efforts.
And so you think that ICANN, whether it's through hosting a conference, it's their responsibility to assist in that coordination. Is that their role in this?
They provide the venue. Everybody needs to work together. Everybody needs to contribute here. ICANN, in my view, is the venue because everybody's coming here. Everybody's coming to the ICANN meetings. It's the biggest venue of registrars, registries, and some registrants that have this common interest. And therefore, being all in the same place regularly, three times a year, is the best venue for this.
Yep. Great. Thanks, Volker. So, one, let me be critical of the, or not critical, but let me be suggestive of the role of the Domain Name Association here, and in full disclosure, I am the chairman of the Domain Name Association. I think it should be our responsibility to pick up on the other point that that group brought up, which is about the influences. And our association should be going out to other associations, like the, if there's an advertising association or a marketing association, and where they're meeting, we should be presenting. Getting out in front of them to try to influence the influences. And maybe that's something we need to be doing more of as a group. Yes, John, can you come up to the mic, please, mate? That dodgy hip playing up, mate.
John Berard. I've often thought that when confronting difficult first-time questions, it's helpful to look at analogies. And the analogy that may work here is the motion picture business, where the studios create the films, the distributors or the movie theaters show them to the public, and the Motion Picture Association helps guide the relationships across industry with regulators, setting the tone and timber for how the industry is important, what it does, why it does it. And in that analogy, the registries would be the studios. The registrars would be the distributors, the theaters, and the DNA could be the trade association that's promoting and extending the reach of the industry.
Don't wish that on me. Thank you.
Without hair, though, I think. So anyway, it might be helpful to think of it, think of an analogy that can then give some form that could lead to action.
Yep, good, mate. Thank you. That's why I'm growing a beard, Alex. Please, sir, come up. I might be mistaken, but this could be a first-time speaker as well.
Hey, we got another one.
Hello, everybody.
My name is Pablo Rodriguez. I'm from the registry.pr in Puerto Rico. And first and foremost, you're all welcome to the ICANN October 2016. And we could have this conversation over mojitos and piña coladas. So that said, there are a couple of things that I'd like to share with you all. I strongly believe that it is our responsibility as a registry and as registrars to guide our own destiny. So we should get together and start aligning our interest, aligning our marketing efforts such that we can both benefit from this. So I heard someone mention, well, registries have their own marketing efforts, their own marketing initiatives, and so does registrars. But what if we get together with our customers who are the ones distributing, and I'm speaking as a registry, right? So what if I get together with my registrars and align my initiatives such that I can support them in getting to the objectives that they are trying to achieve, to attain. So that would be a tremendous and powerful opportunity for both of us. The other important issue is, and one that I think it will be quite beneficial, is for the association to be able to speak to the marketing associations, sales representatives throughout the nation and throughout different venues, and in fact, internationally, taking advantage of the ICANN venues. But without a doubt, the GDD has proven to be quite helpful because as a registry, I find that when I'm in the internet meetings, at the ICANN meetings, I spend a lot of time meeting with other registries. I'm spending a lot of time dealing with policy, and I don't spend enough time with the registrars, and sometimes I don't get to see you guys. So this has been an excellent opportunity to meet some of you. I hope to meet more of you. So if you see me walking around, feel free to approach me. Thank you so much.
Amen. And I can say thank you, Pablo, for getting us some free beers. Robert, come on up. Not a new speaker. Not a new speaker.
Actually, I'm a new speaker because I typically don't do this. So I don't necessarily agree with what Volker said, that the ICANN forum is, or the ICANN meetings are the right forum for marketing, sales, domain name awareness discussions. No offense to the policy people, but now you're going to have policy people talking about marketing and awareness. I think that's the wrong forum. I was also in the group back there regarding commercial meetings. I think commercial meetings are the right forum because you have the business people there, you have the marketing people there. That is the better forum to discuss domain name awareness. Another problem that we're having as registrars, we have a lot of registries approach us wanting them to sell or us to sell their product, but they don't have a clue about marketing. They don't, they've got a TLD, but they don't have proper messaging. They don't know how to sell it, and that's where it all starts. If a registry approaches us and says, we want you to sell our product, first question I ask is, what's the value proposition? How am I going to position it? And so many registries have approached us who have no clue what they're doing. And that's, you know, from a registrar perspective, it's very, very disappointing.
Good comment, mate. Thank you. Is this your first time on a microphone, Michael Pallage?
No.
No, I wouldn't have thought that.
So I'm going to try to flip this conversation around. We've talked about how we have to get everybody to work together, and we've talked about registries, registrars. I guess the question I would like to pose is the vertical integration model working? And are the smaller registries, are the registers an impediment to them marketing and getting to their customers? Because if we look back at the first CRAE report that was done in vertical integration, they talked about the inefficiencies of the model of imposing a registrar in certain distribution models. So we've heard from registrars that have talked about burnout on their end. And I guess the question, sort of a show of hands for the smaller registries in attendance, how many of you feel that the smaller registrars are giving you exactly what you need and giving you support?
I think it's a tough question to ask, mate.
Well, so I guess the question is, I asked it, is how many feel that are getting it? I guess for the smaller registries, do you feel that you need more opportunity to seek distribution channels outside of a traditional registrar model?
Yeah.
Okay? So I guess the question I'm trying to propose is we're looking forward, and this goes back to the comments that Akram raised yesterday. Where do we want our contract? What does that contract look like? When do we decide to reset it? And I guess the question I propose is we have a registrar contract, we have a registry contract. At what point in time does that future evolution look into a registration authority contract that gives the ability for a contracting party to serve one or multiple roles through the same contracting function? And that seed or baseline is already there because under Spec 5, a registry can self-operate 100 names on its own. So the question is there. Let's look at what safeguards that ICANN needs to provide to consumers. Let's look forward. But, again, the inefficiencies, and I've dealt with some brand owners that are like, let me get this straight. I have to sign a contract with ICANN, but then sign a contract with an ICANN-accredited registrar to buy stuff from myself. That's just not efficient. And getting to your point about marketing, I think there are some small niche TLDs. So if you have a generic one, yes, you need the GoDaddies of the world to help in the distribution model. But for some of these small niche TLDs, let them go out and experiment. So that's just kind of my thought for, we don't want to be duplicating the Motion Picture Association model, right? What do bloggers do? They don't go to a publisher. They just get out there and they publish. So let's look at increasing efficiencies in the system.
Thanks, Mike. You picked up a really good point there, which I know we're going to have a registry and registrar session, you know, dedicated to those type of topics. So I think that's one we can pick up this afternoon, after the break.
We're going to have to wrap this up soon. Last three speakers. Brett,
yeah, I'll be very quick. I love hearing the frustration of registrars about registry marketing. I know that we all have frustrations with each other. I just wanted to share one of our pain points, and that is we've got some highly niche TLDs like dye and guitars and tattoo and things like that. When one of our customers, prospective customers for those TLDs, types that into the browser bar, Los Angeles.tattoo, it is frustrating for us. That's a qualified lead for a tattoo name. When they get sold, do you want a .co? Do you want, something else? And then when we go directly to the customers and we do targeted marketing at the diet industry, the tattoo industry, I want a place to bring those customers where they're funneled into .diet. You know, if it's a targeted market at the diet industry, I want to bring them into a place where they can buy a .diet and not be sold, something else. These are all other wonderful TLDs, but if we're going to invest in our strings, and we are, I need a place. I don't need the registrars to sell. I need them to close. So I want to drive you qualified leads, and then I want you to close them for me. So that, I think, is a conversation that I think as an industry we need to have.
Mate, that's a great topic for this afternoon because I know I want to contribute with that as well or to the next session. So let's keep you registrar, or your marketing.
I will talk about registrar, and marketing. How's that?
Sure, do your best.
So I can cover all three. So as I'm Jeff Beckhouse from Right Side, and we're a vertically integrated entity. We have two large registrars and 39 TLDs. And one of the things that I want to respond to what Mike was saying about his comments about having to go through registrars, are you getting the service? I think those comments solidify why we need a commercial meeting about marketing and those such, because we've had a few TLD operators come to us through our reseller platform and say, hey, we're not getting the service we want from registrars. Hey, you know what? There's a solution where you can plug in, set up a reseller site right away, and you can be up and selling with your own marketing, your own messaging, and it's up in a day. And you don't have to sign a registrar solution. You don't have to sign, you don't have to become a registrar. You don't have to convince a small registrar to pick up your product. You can sell and produce and promote it the way exactly you want. And you can have that done in a day. And, I'm not up here right now pitching for it, but come see me. I'm sitting over here. But it is a very simple solution. And you know what? I think a lot of people might not know it's available. And I think that is why a marketing meeting and a commercial meeting would really help because, again, we send policy people and we are still trying to figure out a way. We have a lot of things we want to discuss about how to merchandise TLDs, how to promote them, and we don't have the venue to do that, and I think there is really a need for it, and I think these kind of comments and problems that people bring up, that's exactly what we could address in those meetings. Thanks,
Jeff. Good job. I think going back to Mike's question, are you breaking the rules? I'm going to be one last question.
Yeah, good. I also get new points here for speaking.
Yeah. I'm not sure it's allowed. I was cutting off the line. All right, no, go. Let me make one more point before you do. Sorry. To what Mike was saying, I think it's well worth, in the next session, asking a question, is the current framework working? With all the workarounds that everybody's doing behind the scenes, do we continue to do that and continue to play this contracted party game? So that's a question I think we need to pick up next. Please, identify yourself for the speakers at home.
I'm Amanda from Uniregistry. So another concept that was brought up at the very end of our group 4 discussion was how do we make the commercial awareness happen to people and build awareness, because there's a lot of people out there that aren't sure what to do with domain names. So that's a big discussion topic. And we think what we discussed was there were a lot of heads nodding that the DNA is the correct form to do this. That brings everyone together. That's where everyone can work together on these kind of marketing concepts, but also to work with ICANN. They have funds from auctions, so maybe there's a way to work together. Maybe apply for some of those funds, put them together, and do some sort of ad campaign. So an actual action item that we can all work together on.
Great.
So,
good point. Thank you. All right. Good session. Let's give them a round of applause, Team 4. Good job. Do you want to come and say this, mate? From poke the audience. New speaker?
New speaker. I think that there were two issues here at hand. One is commercializations and being able to promote domain names. But I think there was an underlying strategic question in this issue. Is relevance of domain names in the future. We know that domain names are under threat by apps on mobiles, by QR codes, by other identifiers. So I think that there is also a strategic question on what can this group do about relevance of domain names in the future, and we should be thinking about that as well.
All righty. Well, we sort of teed it up nicely for Team 3. Is that Team 3 over here? Someone say something. 3, thank you. So can I get the spokesperson for Team 3 up? Staten, who was it? Kevin. Is Kevin a new speaker? We're going to kill this today. Now, Kevin, your topic, do you need your thing? Or if you're right to go with it. You've got cheat sheets and everything. So Kevin's group was given commercial meetings, right? So it's actually a nice segue into this.
A lot of our thunder has been stolen. So Kevin Kreiser, GoDaddy. First was too many presentations from staff. We felt more like we were being talked at than engaged in meaningful dialogues and discussions. Discuss how to improve quality of...
What's that? Oh, you've upset Akram. There goes your $500.
So bitter. So discuss how to improve quality of customer vendor relationship. ICANN being the vendor, whether you agree with that or not. A clear agenda, something more narrowly focused than what we had. Perhaps smaller working groups that could break out. Talked about the marketing and different divisions. How to get more broadly involved in associations to discuss these same issues, so whether it's at this meeting or in other meetings that are held elsewhere around. To have ICANN possibly sponsor a registrar registry meeting and maybe even have ICANN join at the end so that the groups come together, discuss their shared concerns, and then have ICANN come in and let us share what we've all come together to find as a problem and how can we deal with those issues. Mailing lists for joint group. I don't think that exists for registrar joint mailing list. What that really has to do with the meeting, but it's something we thought would be an improvement. Webinars on major topics, being able to have smaller focused issues without everybody having to fly to a centralized location. And then I think we all agree that policy, you can't have commercial and policy completely separated because you often need policy to make some of the changes that are needed from the commercial standpoint. So.
Great. Stay at the microphone because I'm going to ask you some questions. So let's do it this way.
Just the messenger.
Yeah. And you're the one we kill. What do you do to the messenger? Something. So let's try to give the GDD something to work with here. Okay, they've gone to the trouble of financing this to put us in a room together. What sort of, in your group's opinion, as best as you can represent them, is this the forum for a commercial discussion about having the marketing manager from Walmart stand up and tell registrars, this is how we put things on shelves in our supermarkets, right? And this is what you guys need to learn about how to arrange your products on your virtual shelves. Or to turn to registries and say, this is how to better communicate the value proposition to your distributors, right? Where are those discussions going to be held? Where can we get those sort of keynote speakers, the head of marketing agencies, to come in and talk to us? Is that here? Is that an ICANN meeting? Is it somewhere separate?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I don't know what everyone else thinks, but just the pure commercial issues, I don't know where ICANN plays a role in that, right? The marketing and what you do and how you're driving, unless there's a barrier that's created because of a policy or procedure that exists. So perhaps it's a completely different venue, and there's, I know there used to be registrar sponsored meetings, but to the extent it's purely commercial, I don't know that ICANN plays a role in that.
Yep, fair answer. Love to see some people up at the mic here to contribute. This is an important one, guys, because I think that really, for me, it falls into three distinct groups. I think where we're seeing the overlap is between policy and operations. They overlap. I'm not sure, and this is Adrian's opinion, I'm not sure there's a massive overlap between policy and marketing, right? Policy and group awareness. And so if we can maybe draw that distinction, maybe that helps in how we can better plan for, and you might be right, maybe it's none of ICANN's business to get involved in the marketing, and we need to look at these external conferences as a way to showcase the industry and work better as a group. You know, do we need to stand up a conference once a year as a group that's a marketing-based, product-based conference where we can all share ideas, we get keynote speakers from, you know, some of the big ad agencies and blah, 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 blah. Is that what we want to hear? Rich Berninger, not a new speaker.
Bummer. Sorry. I'll have a drink later anyway.
That's a double GoDaddy. GoDaddy,
I worked with Kevin, and one of the comments I wanted to make regarding ICANN's involvement in these discussions is segregation is a bad thing because many of the efforts that ICANN is undertaking affects all of our commercial concerns directly. That doesn't mean that I'm suggesting that ICANN should be framing the commercial context in which we operate, but they should be aware of what we're doing, how we're doing it, so that there is an understanding of the implications of the decisions that are made, the operational constraints and things along those nature. And I, as vice chair of the DNA, sorry to be another one of those guys, but I don't know why we aren't getting together as the DNA, the domain name industry, to talk about these things in venues that are focused on there, where that's where we're getting together to do such things. And it's not a call for membership in the self-serving sense. Just from my perspective, it seems obvious.
Guys, show of hands real quick then on the back of what Rich said. Do you think we need our own industry conference where we can have 2 days' worth of product-based, commercial-based sessions where we talk about the promotion and a general awareness of domain names? Show of hands. All right. So I'm thinking somewhat of a majority, like a standalone thing, right? All right. Please. Thanks, Brett.
If I could add one thing to that, I think it's not just maybe business and commercial. There may be a policy track here. I hate to inject that. But we got an invitation from Akram just yesterday. He said if there are improvements that we want to see in ICANN processes that don't rise to the level of a PDP, let's present them to him. As you know, jointly coming from the registries and registrars, here are things that we would like. They will consider implementing. And we do not have to go through the GNSO Council. We do not have to do policy. It's non-policy, right? It's non-policy. But there are lots of little places like that where I think collectively we could make recommendations to ICANN that might have an immediate impact on our businesses that we can do outside that ICANN policy process.
Good. So to further evolve my thought then, seeing the show of hands, does that leave the GDD? Because I like these. I think there is a place for an operation and policy intersection meeting. Is that what this becomes? Or is that the ICANN conference itself? Because ICANN conference is pretty policy heavy. There's all GNSO councils and CCNSO councils and a lot of policy-driven discussion there. Does it make sense to have a separate, like we're doing here, operational discussion, only better? Mike?
So I think the answer lies with what GoDaddy used to do. So I think Jeff, the Registrar Summit, Christine Jones used to do, myself, John Nevitt, and some others, we attended it, right?
Yeah.
And that was 2.5 days of real operational issues. They would bring in law enforcement. We would discuss lawsuits. And one of the restrictions that Christine did was no policy people were allowed. You had to be general counsel or you had to be in charge of operations. So we focused on that, and there were, in advance, there was an agenda put out with sessions. We knew what we were going to be achieving. And, you know, there was some intersection with policy, but that was just, we'll follow this up in the appropriate forum. So that's, if you're asking me how to make this GDD better, I would say go back to what Christine Jones did. And during those registrar summits that were held for consecutive years, that to me is a model to follow.
Okay. Cyrus, I'm trying to give you and the GDD team here, you know, hopefully you're getting something from this, is that
Is there any sort of specific things from ICANN's perspective? I'll take your question in a second. Please take a spot. From ICANN's, you know, is there a question you need answered out of this? Is it half-baked at the moment, or do we need to go away and think about this some more and sort of work out how we can shape this better? Is there anything that jumps out at you at the moment from any ICANN staff about this discussion?
Thank you. Just a general comment. I guess my concern and my suggestion is that there's a lot of good ideas that are bubbling up to the table here, a lot of good topics for us to consider, but my fear is that we all go away tomorrow afternoon and go back to our businesses
right.
And it just dies down.
Right.
So I'd like to see a follow-through with some concrete actions and owners and timeline.
Yep.
So that, you know, us on the ICANN side know how perhaps to reorient our resources, our focus, and you, as the industry that we serve, also have some deliverables, some action items, some ownership. And this can become the foundation for our next get-together, where we can actually see that we've moved the needle to the right direction. It's just a general comment.
So what if we did something, Karen, I'm going to get your question in 2 seconds. What if we did something like ask Paul and, I guess, Jennifer, are you heading up the registrars at this thing, given Michaeli's not here?
Yep.
So what if we said to Paul and Paul Diaz and Jennifer, hey, you got 2 weeks to come back and give us some direction. And they'll go out to their stakeholders, and we'll have a look at this, and come back with something hard, if you like, a white paper that says, this is what we want the GDD Summit to be. Is that helpful?
Absolutely. And again, you know, at the risk of sounding a bit too forward, I don't want it to become a to-do action item for ICANN. I think all of us need to.
Yeah, and you notice I didn't mention ICANN. I want this to come from the stakeholders.
For all of us.
Right? Yeah.
All of us, for this industry to go to the next level, all of us need to step up to the plate.
Right.
Think out of the box.
So Paul and Jennifer, have I thrown you in it here? There's a bus and I'm reversing over the top of you, but all good? All right, great. So 2 weeks you're going to have something concrete. Karen, let's hear from you. First time speaker? On.
First time
speaker.
I'm Karen Day. I'm from SAS, the software company, not the airline. We have two brands and one very restricted, tightly focused generic. And in our business and in others that I've talked to in similar situations with brands or highly restricted generics, this did not start out as any of our jobs, and it's still not our jobs to just do the domain, then the registry operations. But what we have is a model within our businesses where the two or three people who are concerned with operations are concerned with marketing the domain. We are too thin already to focus at all on policy. What would be helpful for us is a meeting like this where we can do operations issues and marketing issues together, stands the policy. For us to have to, for the same me and my colleague, to have to go to one meeting for operations, another meeting for marketing, it's we're too thin already, and it's not gonna work. So in our side of this industry where we're focused, we're not widely open, we need the marketing and the operations together without the policy.
Okay. Thanks, Kat. Just quick note out to Ken Stubbs, who's making many comments online. Thanks, Ken. I've got him, mate. I think we are listening to you. I think the conversation has picked up on what you're talking about with respect to a marketing summit. All right. Is there any final comments on that topic? We've got a couple of action items there. I know Paul's noted them. Jennifer's on top of it. George, making a late play. Are you a first-time speaker?
Today?
No.
No. It doesn't count. I'll still get a drink out of you.
Yeah, you'll get a drink out of me.
George Minardo, Stop Bill Registry. I think in keeping with my constant theme of broadening the industry now that the pie has been broadened, maybe the marketing meeting, which I think is good that it separates from policy partially, to the extent that there's no overlap in policy. But maybe there is an existing conference that we co-sponsor, we bomb, not really bomb, but
yeah.
bomb or whatever, you know, a developers conference, all those kind of things where people that use domains who don't know necessarily enough about the expansion, we could, you know, get that message across rather than starting up a whole other conference because there's quite a bit of effort involved in that, too.
That's right. So South by Southwest or something else.
Perfect.
Then, of course, you've got your North American issues. We want to try to break the North American wide web perception. But, I'm certainly going to take this back to the Domain Name Association and look very seriously about how we can stand up a conference, whether it's in conjunction with another, whether it's with NamesCon, whether it's one a year where we all get together for, you know, 3 or 4 days and we do the booths and we can all talk about new products and other value adds that sit above products and yada yada. You know, if you're a provider that offers a service to registries and registrars, this might be the forum for you, so on and so forth. So, you know, there's a lot of things going through my head with some different ways we can go about it. All right, good. So, round of applause for Team 3, please. We are now, we'll do, what team was that? Team 2? Team 2, Rich. What a surprise that you are the spokesperson.
Still Rich Murdinger with GoDaddy.
Just.
And the funny thing is, until we were about 4/5 of the way through, I didn't realize I was going to be the spokesperson. So
okay.
We're going to do this without any notes, et cetera. But basically, the topic that we were addressing was universal acceptance. And universal acceptance, really, without a formal definition here, is about the functioning of domain names of all kinds across the ecosystem, not just registries, registrars, DNS, but also into the commercial space, individual blogs, browsers, et cetera, so that when a something.org links and works and the email functions, so does the .shabaka, so does the Chinese online, et cetera, and domain names just work. There are a whole host of technical, policy, and logistical issues that make this somewhat tenuous. And the group that got together, I thought this was going to be kind of a quiet group where we talked a little bit about some of the specific technical issues, but what there was unanimous, what was obvious to me, is that everyone in the group is doing something regarding universal acceptance already. Almost all of them are focusing on universal awareness as a component of universal acceptance. There's universal awareness of the issues that exist, so when someone goes to a website and tries to use their .email address and it doesn't work, trying to make the vendors aware of that the fact that their system isn't functioning properly on the Internet. There's awareness from the consumer standpoint so that people are buying or picking up these domain names, using them, and creating a demand that will pull forward these third parties so that they will need to fix their systems because their consumers and users are relying upon them, et cetera. And they're in, again, I do a lot of vice chairing, I think. I'm vice chairing of the Universal Acceptance Steering Group, which many of you probably know is an ICANN-sponsored, underneath the leadership of Don Hollander, group of volunteers that have gotten together to further and promote, with ICANN's guidance and support, universal acceptance in the industry. We view this as not a marketing campaign or a technology fix, but a long-term, diverse-focused effort, if you can have such a thing, on addressing the different components of universal acceptance. It deals with the technology issues, where we have some great leadership from Google trying to attack the email address internationalization, or EAI, so that emails will function globally, including IDNs. We've got an international group that is focused on IDNs and domain names functioning across linguistic and character set lines, et cetera. We've got a metrics and measurement group that is designed to actually understand the scope of the problem, be able to quantify it, measure the progress against it, and communicate the scope of the issue to those companies and individuals affected by it. And then we've got a community outreach group that is intended to address the concept of awareness and making sure that people in the industry know what the problems are, how to deal with them, and then people outside the industry make them aware of them so they can address it as well. And in concert, this group is this fledgling group that we are, a very, very few number of people. The The reason I went through the whole definition here is that virtually everybody standing around in group two was talking about how, yeah, that's what we need. That's what we need to be doing. We need more of that. We're already doing that. Donuts is doing a fantastic set of outreach when domain names aren't functioning properly, that they're actually reaching out to people and doing their own community outreach. They've come up with technical solutions and recommendations. They're doing their own materials for things. So anyway, the point is, what we came down to as an understanding as a group is that we are all addressing this issue independently and complementarily. Many of us are looking for someone to help drive it forward, and there was a level of consensus that the Universal Acceptance Steering Group can be the place that the DNA with their needs and Universal Acceptance can drive, registries can drive, registrars can drive, et cetera. Additionally, we are looking for each of us that are participating in this, whether it's registrars, GoDaddy is doing its own internal review on Universal Acceptance, with the problems that we're finding, bring those findings back to the group, donuts, the types of materials that they're creating and issues, bring them to the UASG, and use that as a way to make the messaging and the verbiage so that we don't just have a set of folks saying, wow, long domain names don't work, and then they tell IBM or whomever about it. And then someone else says, wow, IDNs don't work. What we have is a cohesive message regarding the issue that's concise, effective, and it gets the awareness of the issues out, as well as promotes the consumer awareness so that we end up making it worth the time of the companies to do something about it.
Thanks, Rich. So,
and if I missed anything, I apologize, guys. Like I said, I realized I was doing this pretty late.
Stay where you are. So what does this group do to address? Yeah, if you had a wish then, being the vice chair of the UASG, did I get it right? What does this group do to support those efforts? Is it, you know, and you've already said it's our responsibility, us being registries and registrars.
I'll use it by anecdote. Someone made the comment that the mailing lists are kind of quiet. Well, they wouldn't be if that person was on the mailing list engaging.
Right.
So engage. And you say, yeah, but I don't know how. Now you do. Don Hollander. Sorry, right. Don. Don, can you stand, please?
Thanks, Don. I think the thing about universal awareness that's unique with the problem is a lot of people think that it's not my problem. Right? Someone else will solve it. It's ICANN's job to solve it. Right? And ICANN have weighed into this, and as we've just seen with the introduction of Don, they put resources and funding behind trying to address this issue. But it still requires a large volunteer effort in order to get this across the line. And those that are having the issues are probably the best volunteers to have because they're the ones to be able to help articulate the problems the quickest.
Absolutely. And I was remiss in saying two things. One, ICANN is the one that got us together to germinate this and move it forward. So they are not just supporting it. They are actually kicking the ball initially. And secondly, there's been a budget approved to fund individual efforts and materials and resources.
$1.2 million.
Exactly. Well, precisely similar.
That's what Akram said. Yeah, I heard him say that. Whether that's
anyway, so
Akram said $1.2 million. I shouldn't say it's $1.2 million.
I'll give up the microphone to Talon.
Not a new speaker.
Not a new speaker. Alex Lee, Hui Global. I was in Rich's group on universal acceptance. I just want to reiterate the fact that this is a huge issue. It's a huge problem for all of us and for all stakeholders. Essentially, in my opinion, what it comes down to at the end of the day is if this issue isn't resolved, it will continue to be examples of basically our products and services not working, because that's really what it comes down to. And so when registrants and customers come to a registrar to register a domain and it doesn't work in one of dozens of different ways, whether it be email, whether they be on a website trying to fill out a form or create a website that's not resolving, really what it boils down to for them is, I bought something from you and it doesn't work. So this is a problem for everyone in the room across the entire ecosystem. And the only way that we're going to get to a resolution and to solve this problem is if the problems as they come up are brought to light and compiled into some sort of, someone in our group mentioned a wiki or a crowdsourcing type of a platform so that we can see where the problems are, see where they're all the pain points are and start to see the patterns, and so that we can attack these issues from a technical perspective as well as a marketing perspective. And I think that you know, ICANN has put a best foot forward with a budget and also you know, sponsoring the discussions. But unless we as an industry come together and bring these issues to light, we're basically, Donuts is doing a great job, and I'm sure everybody's compiling data and examples of problems with universal acceptance that they're running into or their customers are running into. But at the end of the day, if it doesn't come together into one place, it's basically everybody writing in their diary all day, and you tuck it away, and the problems aren't going to get resolved. So I think that one of the takeaways that we decided was, you know, is the UASG, is that the place that can act as the repository or the central location where we can start to at least compile some of this data and find out where the pain points are, what are the challenges, what are customers experiencing. And coming from a Chinese IDN registry background and perspective, you know, our pain point really is in working with registrars and enabling them to be able to explain to their customers whether or not IDNs work. And a lot of times what we have is an issue when we're doing onboarding with registrars, like, do these things actually work? And we say, you know, we're in the root just like any other extension, so yes, they work. But when it comes down to the actual user experience and you try to type in an IDN into a browser that's under an English operating system versus a Chinese, the Chinese say, yeah, it works across the board. But then you take the same IDN, you copy and you paste it into a browser on somebody's PC here in Europe or in the U.S., and all they get is a 50-character puny code. Does that really work for a business day that's interested in doing business in China and is evaluating whether or not Chinese IDNs should be part of their domain portfolio or their marketing? So these are the types of issues that, you know, unless we work together and bring them to light, it's going to be difficult to really identify what the problems are.
Thanks, mate. Good point. So, Rich, I'm going to grab two points real quick. First one is the Domain Name Association, certainly, we think that this is the single biggest issue facing the industry at the moment, because it's going to impact consumers. A bad experience from a consumer is a bad reflection upon our industry. So we want to mobilise around it. So expect to see some stuff from us at the moment. We are working on some things that will hopefully make the light of day. Number two, I think people perceive this as an IDN problem, and it's not an IDN problem. I recently came into some money. And I bought a new car, and that new car was a Mercedes-Benz. And Mercedes-Benz have a little widget on their screen where you can sign up to Mercedes apps. And so I get in my car, and I'm sitting there reading the manual for about 7 hours, and just having a ball in the car. And so I thought, I'm going to sign up to Mercedes-Benz. So I used my .film email address, which you must input. I shouldn't give it to you because you'll email. See what I get. a@go.film. Submit. Comes up, invalid email address. That's all I typed. a@go.film. Invalid email address. So I sold the Mercedes. And I now have a car that doesn't have a computer screen. Solved the problem. But that's it. You know, it's as real as that. Now, that's a frustration point. I'm a consumer. I've just bought a new email. And I can't use it. So, guys, it's not someone else's problem. It's every one of your customers' problem that are buying these new TLDs, because someone has hard-coded what they expect to see as an email address at some point. And that's where we need to go and start breaking this down. So it is a big issue that we need to mobilize around. Rich and then Daniel, thanks.
Thanks, Adrian. And I will be sending you an email. Assuming it, you know. At any rate, all I was going to mention was that this is an ecosystem-wide discussion. You know, we talk vertically about registrars, registries, etc. But it also goes out to, this is a huge issue I would suggest for brands as well, because, you know, as the leader for our .GoDaddy, I want to make sure .GoDaddy actually functions. So
yep.
It isn't just a commercial, we're going to sell these things and the registrants need them to work.
Correct.
It's much broader than that. And there's so much more to be said on this topic. Best UASG meeting we've had, or tied for that, I'd say, was that discussion we had over there in the corner. This is the kind of involvement I am petitioning for in UASD, and I'll quit dumping for that now.
Good man. And you're not a first-time speaker.
Daniel Nagari. So I just wanted to comment because my former email address was d@xyz.com, and I have the same issues. New TLDs.
Now I feel bad about abusing Mercedes. thanks, mate. First-time speaker?
Jim Schrand, Dominion, first-time speaker.
Woo!
What do we have to do?
Got another one.
That's
number six.
Okay.
That's number six for the day.
So, you know, I know Rich said that with GoDaddy, they're doing an analysis inside their company of where they're failing from where there are challenges from a universal acceptance perspective. Within this room, I think we all have a responsibility if we're going to go out and ask others in the industry to do things around universal acceptance, that we be the role models for doing that. So I know within my company, we have a lot of software products. We have a lot of portals. We need to go address these before, at least at the same time, that we're asking others whose, you know, first responsibility or a general responsibility isn't GTLDs and universal acceptance. So I think within this room, we need some sort of a metric around role modeling this within the industry.
Thanks, Mike. Good point. All righty. Dan, you want last word? We're going to close this out.
I just wanted to add to that because there's a Mozilla public suffix list and a lot of big organizations refer to that. So, and that's something that's updated in arrears from domains that get delegated. So it would be great if ICANN or an authority would reference something like that, as that would pretty easily resolve a lot of large organization issues, because if there's one suffix list rather than me emailing somebody about, you know, make sure .xyz works on your form or whatever, just referring to the overall suffix list, that's it.
Thank you, Daniel. This is Rich again.
This is the minus one speaker.
Yeah. The PSL, as it's called, as he's referring it to, that's just one of the examples of someone bringing a best practice forward, making it making a suggestion to others that may or may not have known about it previously. And when we all come together in a common forum, such as the UASG, whether it's through the mailing lists or through active participation, we can build out a compendium that we can then be sharing with people that don't even know these things would ever exist. And that's the kind of contribution. It's very lightweight to make suggestions like this, but in mass, you know, the grains of sand coming together can be very heavy and be good. So thank you.
All right, sir, we will take your question or comment. Just so you know, all the newcomers that have just come into the door, we have a bounty on new speakers. If we get 10 new speakers by the end of the day, drinks on the bar from the Domain Name Association and ICANN tonight. We're at 6 so far. So Steve Stevenson, please introduce yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, what's the new speaker? I just got here.
Yeah, true. Yeah, new speaker today, yeah.
Might be the first time since 2000 I could be referred to as a new speaker. Jordan Buchanan with Google. So I wanted to make 2 points. One, quickly in response to what Daniel and Rich were just talking about with the PSL, which is, I think the PSL is a great tool, but it, I think, demonstrates a bigger mindset problem that we have to get at, and it gets to what we really need to do, which is promulgate best practices to developers. And the best practice should be, why are you trying to validate the TLD? You don't validate any other part of the email address. You don't know if the stuff on the left-hand side is right, the local part. You don't know if the second-level domain is right. So why do you care if the TLD is right? It's a crazy practice to hard-code these lists. And whether you're using the PSL or any other list, it just doesn't make sense. And so what we should really be doing is telling people to stop trying to validate email the right-hand part of email addresses when you don't care about the rest, as opposed to pointing them at a new list, even though the PSL is a great place. There are a very small number of instances in which it is very helpful to try to validate a domain name in real time, and there's a very even smaller number of instances, like if you're trying to disambiguate between, is this person typing in like a search, or are they typing in a domain name, where you actually want a clue about whether that's a valid domain name or not. But an email form is never one of those times. And I think there's a bunch of technical issues that like this that we need to tackle and that we need to promulgate best practices around. But I think an even more important problem, and some people are talking about this as a marketing problem, but I think when we talk about universal awareness, it's really a problem for how users interact with these things. And if you see a movie trailer, and at the end of the movie trailer you see, you know, whatever, awesomemovie.com, everyone knows that that's a URL, and then you go to your web browser and you type it in, and that's how you interact with the string of text that has appeared in front of you. But if you see awesomemovie.film, some fraction of people are going to have no clue that that's a thing that you go and type into your web browser. And so we need to do a lot of education of people to help them understand that these things exist, that there's more opportunity to register and to interact with domain names beyond the traditional set of things that you're used to seeing at the right-hand side of a domain name. And that's a little bit of a marketing problem, an awareness problem, but it ends up being the same as the technical problem.
Yeah.
If people see something and they don't understand how to interact with them, it fundamentally breaks the user experience. So I think we need to stop thinking about the education part of this to consumers and to the broader market as just a marketing problem, and think of that as just as significant an acceptance problem as the actual interaction with code that developers do.
Yeah, Matt, I think that was picked up by the Universal Awareness Group when they said there's Universal Acceptance Group by saying universal awareness dovetails into universal acceptance. And I've managed to talk Rich down from the ledge. All right. So thank a round of applause for the universal acceptance guy. Did you get something out of that, Don? All good stuff. All right. Last group. We have the lovely, the vivacious Rob Villeneuve coming down. Now, your topic was round two. Ding, ding. That's an Apollo Creed joke there. All righty. You got it? Someone got it?
All right, I like the introduction. So I helped you yesterday.
Am I
so you get to hold my... So yeah, I'm a new speaker, so that's what...
Are you really?
Kavanaugh. Hey, I was chosen because I would qualify.
Oh, okay. I will scratch off the... Well done.
So sorry, okay. So I'm Rob with Rebel. I like the spirit of this new speaker thing, so we've decided that if our group, Group 1, crosses the threshold to 10, so we'll need three more after me, we'll throw $500 down.
Your group will?
Yeah, Rebel.com will.
Wow, wait, I like it.
The only thing I want everybody to, some of the registries, come talk to me about how we can market your TLDs without promoting all the other TLDs.
There
we can
go.
Do that.
All right, there you go. Right. $500. Cool. Makes sense.
So yeah, so as Adrian
said,
we're
gonna have like $20,000 in the bar by the end of the
day. It's gonna be a hell of a night.
It's gonna be a big night tonight, folks.
Exactly. All right.
Cancel
so,
your morning meetings.
So as Adrian said, we started with second round as a topic, but then they kind of threw it at us and said, okay, well, what about the future, and what about the role of the GAC? Which makes it a really complicated kind of question to answer. So I think to start is the vision, and to remind everyone, and this was reminded to me during our talk, is that the original vision was to have a new round of new GTLDs, which we are about to complete, and then potentially to have a following round, but eventually get to this place where there were no more rounds. There was just a process to follow when you wanted to launch a new TLD. So I thought that was a good place to start the vision. It's kind of a grounding to remember that that's the goal. And really amongst the group, there was no opposition to kind of achieving that goal, although there was a ton of questions about, you know, challenges in the route and all that kind of stuff to get there. So the next kind of point in the story was to say, okay, well, if second round is the goal, what about the first round? So it's important to recognize that from an ICANN perspective, things are drawing to a close in terms of approving applications and getting these things launched. And they're kind of ready to go for a next round. And Cyrus is in our group, and he said that, so I'm quoting him. They're ready to go, right? Awesome. So that was an interesting point, is that ICANN staff feels prepared to bring on another round, but that we can't forget about, you know, the current round. Just because they're launched does not mean we are done. So we just heard a lot about universal acceptance. That was a key point in our talk, too, around, you know, we can't just let the current round suffer while we're all on to the new round. We need to think about how this impacts end users. The current round needs to be successful. That kind of drew us into how do we consider success. And from an ICANN perspective, at least, I can call Jeff Newman up here to talk about the 30 things that we need to cross off in order to consider success. But the number one thing, I believe, was the affirmation of commitments review, which has not started, but needs to start and is a precursor to a second round. So definitely a key point there. And then when we started to talk about the reviews, you know, we recognize that the GAC's definitely going to have some input. All groups within ICANN are going to have some input. We all have our feedback on this round. And how does that affect the next round? And we threw out so many problems. I'm sure people will come up to the mic and talk about all their individual issues and concerns. But the sentiment that came out of it was, well, we better get going. And if we're going to get going, we better set some objectives. And as the GNSO, we should have an interest in moving forward with this, and maybe, you know, setting some objectives and some deadlines would get everyone going on this feedback process, which could then lead into the next round. So amongst our group, we kind of set a couple deadlines to kind of spur the action. The first was, to set an objective of getting the new round going within 2 years. So we thought that was a bit of a reach goal, but hopefully a little more on the realistic side. And if you work backwards from there, that definitely, getting the review started now and completed by January 2016, I think is what we said, would be, prudent to hitting a kind of two-year mark. That being said, there's a lot of questions on how much the guidebook, the process might change based on that feedback, and there's definitely sentiment that was shared that the guidebook is already on version 10, and that hopefully it wouldn't lead to, wholesale changes. And ultimately, by picking a shorter deadline rather than a longer one, we would spur it that if you don't hurry up, get some feedback and get the process started, that we're going to go with what we got, because what we got us through the first round. Okay? I think next up, I have to read these, I apologize. We had a whole bunch of fears that I think kind of will help spur the conversation. So one of the fears was around, specialized rounds. If we're going to accelerate a process to get towards, the second round, thank you so much. We said that, there might be temptation to say, well, this specific groups of new GTLD is easy to approve, so let them go and then we'll worry about the rest. And definitely that's going to be a controversial topic. There's some conversation around the GAC's input and how to spur them. So a fear would be that they feel a little disconnected with how the feedback process goes. So it was recognized as an objective to engage with them now on the feedback, and to by setting a deadline of a couple of years to get the new program out, that would spur them to get the conversations rolling. There's a fear that some within the community definitely will not want a second round. There'll be some opposition. Let me see what else. There's also a related risk of the IANA transition coming up within the next year and how that might impact it. And finally, there was this idea that we don't quite fully understand, at least our group didn't, what of these processes that all need to get going, which can occur in parallel and which are dependent upon each other. So there was a real push to try and find as much parallelism in the system as we could. So I guess to summarize all of this, when we think about the second round and then the future rounds beyond that, is there's a sense of being a little stagnant, being a sense of being ready and wanting to go, but not quite having done as much as we could to get the ball rolling, and that's the challenge upon us.
Thanks, Rob. Stay there, mate, for me. And thank you to your lovely barrel girl. thanks, Frida. So, Rob, let me ask this first. Who should put the flag on the hill for the next round? In your, as much as, this is your opinion now, right? You're not speaking on behalf of your group. Your opinion. Who should put the flag on the hill for round two?
All of us? Is that too much to say?
Well, let me ask it this way. Is it ICANN's job to do that?
I don't believe so, but within ICANN certainly there's groups. I believe the GNSO would certainly be interested in following the first round.
The GNSO is us?
Yeah, the council.
That's
for
the
sure.
Community, right?
For sure. Registries and registrars obviously have more of a vested interest.
Right.
But you want to hear input from other communities too. So, you know, how the users feeling about it. There's certainly a challenge there. What would a next round maybe bring in terms of the benefit to the users, all that kind of stuff?
For sure. I mean, you can't have the commercial interest, you know, can't have the tail wagging the dog necessarily.
Yeah.
But Pandora's box is open, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm pleased. I'm trying to promote people to get up to the microphone. Christina, I reckon you're about 3 seconds away. Pandora's box is open here. You've got some brands that have it, and I reckon the loudest voices are going to be the have-nots.
Right.
Right? And the analogy I always do, and I get it wrong, either BMW did or Mercedes didn't or vice versa. But Hans will be driving down the road and look up, he works for Mercedes. He's the CEO of Mercedes. He can't use his .film email address. But he's driving down the road and he sees a big billboard for X5.BMW. And so Hans gets to work and he says to another German named fella, Thomas, and says, Thomas, why can't I, you know, where's our .Mercedes? And he says, oh, we're going to get one for you. Yeah, we'll go and get it right now. And he goes and does some investigation. He comes back and says, well, you know what? We can't get one. And we don't know how long it's going to be. It could be 2 years. Hans isn't going to be happy. And Hans is going to get his legal team to go around to ICANN, knock on a door and say, hey, we're big Mercedes German company. We want this bloody TLD thingy. Please. Achtung! That's as good as I get. Hey, schnell, 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 and all of my other Hogan's Heroes German that I know. You know, that's what I think. So you're going to get the drive from the have-nots. But, you know, I think the community's got to be responsible for putting the flag on the hill here and then turning to ICANN and say, ICANN, make this happen. Correct. And as much as we tell ICANN, I'm talking operationally here, as much as we tell ICANN to sit here and say, ICANN, can you tell us when this is going to be, please, because we need to go back to our people. You know, ICANN's hands are tied. There's a lot of things that have to happen, but unless we set a goal, none of those things are going to, you know, they'll just take their time to convolute. So that's, you know, I'm trying to be thought-provoking here and trying to get people up to discuss it. But, you know, I guess the question then is, well, how do we get that flag put on the hill? Someone's just got to be bold enough. Some group has to say, you know, 30th of June 2017, that's when we go, how do we make that happen? You know, if indeed it needs to happen.
Correct. Well put.
Thanks, mate. That's not really a question as much as it was a rant. But I did get someone up to the micro. Oh, we nearly had someone. That was a faker. This is not a new speaker. This is Brett.
Brett Boston. I'll put on my GNSO hat now and make sure everyone is aware that right now there is open for public comment an issue report that lists all the issues. Steve Chan is in the room somewhere. Maybe Steve can wave at us all. There he is over there. Anyway, Steve put together a very long and substantial report on all the issues that we might want to consider for round two. If you don't see your issue there, now's the time to make sure it gets on the board. And I think there are actually two tracks here. We've got the new, if we've got a policy track, potentially, if we want to change the last round. But if we don't reach consensus on new changes, I think we need to remind ICANN, and obviously they're in the room, and I'm doing that now, and I've done it many times in the past. Round two is actually baked into round one. It says at the end of round one, there's going to be an evaluation, then we're going to do round two. And I think if we want to see a round two, we need to encourage ICANN to go forward with the round two that's baked into round one. We already said we were going to do it. If the GNSO can move and change policy before ICANN launches, great. If not, then those changes that come out of the GNSO can be for round three or round four. And round two will look exactly like round one. But I think we need to encourage ICANN to move forward with the existing policy and not wait for us. Because if they wait for us, we might never do this again.
That's a fair point. Let me remind you that nothing written down is ever set in stone. Because if you remember in that guidebook, it did say that ICANN will announce when the next round will be at the time of launch. I must have missed that memo. And clearly the community, you know, are still dealing with that.
Yeah, actually,
Jeff Newman.
Not a new speaker, sorry. actually what the guidebook says is that that the new round will launch 1 year after the close of the application period of the last round. So
you would not, yeah.
Technically, it was supposed to launch in May of 2013.
I got a whole bunch of applications in. I don't know if you did.
Yeah, I missed it. So, but just to echo what Brett said, you know, please get the comments in. The other thing we need to do is there seems to be a natural tendency to have this issue kind of fall back on the priority list. And so there have been a number of things that have come up to the council, which most people aren't even necessarily aware of, where there's been a bunch of delays. There's already been a delay in getting that issue report out, which Steve did a great job on. But it's actually almost a few weeks later than when it was initially promised. Then they're talking, the council's talking about extending the public comment period to have a longer comment period for 60 days instead of a certain amount of period, the lesser period. The point is that we need to take the initiative. We need to get the ball rolling. We need to put the stake in the ground. We need to tell our councilors, look, don't put up with any delays at this point. Let's move forward. Let's get those reviews started. And then I guess to ICANN staff, what I would say is that affirmation of commitments review is required, and that's something that needs to get underway. The board sort of put that on the back burner. We need to get, I don't know if you need to deliver a message from here, but from a lot of us, it's important that we get the board moving on what it's required to do so that we can take the next step. So if there's a message you can send to the board at the retreat at the end of this month, tell them, I know IANA transition's going on, but the rest of the community, or at least the contracted parties, wants this review to go forward now, no delays, so that we can take the next step forward, because there's lots of other things going on other than that transition. So we should send that message.
Thanks, Jeff. Good job. So, guys, Jordan, you're going to have the closing word. I've got to wrap this up. We're a little over time. Steve Stevenson, ladies and gentlemen.
I was really hoping this wouldn't be the closing word so we could get our $500, but it seems not likely to happen. So I wanted to make 2 points. Number one is, why are we talking about rounds? It's a really terrible way to allocate these things. The reason why it's so controversial and difficult is because there's so much contention when we operate in rounds. If we just did it like we handle it like every other resource that ICANN allocates, registrars don't have to sign up in rounds, CCTLDs don't have to sign up in rounds, the IETF doesn't ask for protocol numbers in rounds, all of those things, when you need one, you come to ICANN and say, hey, I'd like one of these things. I'd like to become a registrar. There's a new country. We need to create a CCTLD. Oh, there's a new protocol. Let's make a new protocol number. They don't do it in rounds because there's no good reason to do it in rounds. We've learned the lessons from this round, and we had, there were issues about, we're going to have to do this once. There's going to be a lot of contention. Let's do it in a big round and learn from it. But in the future, we should stop doing that and switch to a mode where there's a continuous application process instead of additional rounds. And then we could get rid of so much in the guidebook that's basically around decontention. Yep. First point. Second point is, there are a lot of reviews that we've committed to do, and those reviews are important. But it is not clear, and certainly with the one-year timeline in the guidebook, it was not anticipated that those reviews would block the additional allocation of new GTLDs. And I don't think we should treat it that way. We need to learn from this round, and we need to continuously be improving the process, just like ICANN does in everything else, all of the other resources that it allocates. But we don't need to block the allocation of new GTLDs on doing additional study before we get to that point.
Thanks, Jordan. One quick comment, if I can respond on the first, and then we would love to hear from ICANN, is that, and I think it might be a new speaker. We'll pretend.
Okay.
You're paying the bill. Let's do it. I think the notion of rounds comes up because you've got this, there's no other way of allocating when you have an initial launch. You do it one time. I still think there's going to be some pent-up enthusiasm for the next round. So I think what ICANN came out and said, we're going to do a couple of rounds for the first couple of times and then look to do, are you going to fight me? He's running at me then.
Just treat it like Land Rush for a new GTLD. You start the allocation process, and up front you need to do some crazy decontention thing to deal with the pent-up demand, and then from that point on,
right,
you start allocating first come, first
come. Sure. Fair point.
So in the spirit of making this more of a discussion, I thought
good,
it would be great to have ICANN's perspective here. So on the topic of dependencies.
Can you introduce yourself for the record, please?
Oh, sorry, Christine Willett, ICANN.
Thank you, Christine.
So dependencies for the next round. I heard Jeff talk about the AOC review being on the critical path. There's different perspectives. Jordan mentioned there's lots of reviews going on. The CCT metrics is in progress. But my personal opinion is that given the way the guidebook was written, the fact that this next round was supposed to kick off a year after the previous application window closed, didn't foresee that those reviews would have been completed, let alone even initiated. But I think the board needs to hear some perspective on that, because I think those reviews, there's a perception that those reviews are on the critical path, or that the community feels those reviews are on the critical path, and there's not an interest to shortcut anything and move the next round forward without those reviews, if there's a feeling that those are important and critical. Beyond reviews, there's the PDP work. So you've got the GNSO issue report out there, potential PDP work ongoing. I think there's also a feeling that we don't want to preempt that with the next round. So, Brett, I was interested to hear, new news to me, that perhaps any PDP work policy advice that might be coming might be applicable to a third or future round efforts, application windows beyond the second round. That's an interesting perspective. I don't know who on the board that's been shared with. So it was news to me. Operationally, from a round perspective, I don't know that we're ready today to accept applications. You heard me mention yesterday some of our Salesforce challenges. We certainly want to have a secure, robust system mechanism for accepting all of the applications that might come in the next round. I think there's some opportunities that some kinks in this application round we want to work out and make some adjustments to, but I think, you know, 2 years is certainly feasible operationally. And to Jordan's point, you know, this idea, and someone else said it, I apologize, the idea that we would have potentially a second round and then move into an ongoing application window. We need to sort out how we manage contention in that process. Maybe it's ongoing windows where we then manage contention and the process from there. But some sort of rolling application window was the intent, goodness, 3 years ago. So we hear you. We hear all that feedback. I think
the notion on that one, Christine, is first come, first serve is what you end up moving into.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's what Jordan was talking about.
Sure. So plenty of implementation details to work out before that. But I guess my message would be to make sure these ideas are heard by staff, by the board. You know, there's other aspects of the ICANN community that are not represented here this week that might not be as interested in
no.
the next round moving forward. So I think some of that, those voices need to be balanced out if you want to have, you know, largely the GNSO perspective.
Right. Thank you for your comments, and I think it's important to understand that the comments of Cyrus are not necessarily the comments of ICANN.
About our readiness, what I said was that ICANN would not be in the critical path of us getting there. Not that tomorrow we're ready to open it up, obviously, as Christine, but there's a lot of fine-tuning we want to do, but I think there's other elements that would actually sort of overtake the time, the minimum time it's going to take.
Thanks, Art. there's going to be a fight here. Real quick, because we are behind time, and I'm keeping people away from coffee, and I promised them I wouldn't.
Yeah, that's
Jeff, and I think we may have a new speaker.
Good.
All right. Cool. Quick, Jeff.
Yeah, really quick. So Cyrus is right. That is what he said. But look, we live in a community where not everyone agrees with our viewpoint. So when I said there are certain dependencies, and Christine found off until we start and finish some of these reviews, whether we want to or not. So let's do what we can control, ask for those reviews, get them underway, get them finished, so that we take away all of those things that the community will argue has to be done before something new launches, whether it's a round or an accreditation process. And until we take that initiative, that's going to be an excuse that's always out there for the rest of the community to argue.
Thanks. Cecilia. You got to pop it out. Please identify yourself, new speaker.
New speaker, Cecilia Smith with Fox. So,
Woo! Love it.
A brand owner here, and I'm just very concerned that we're talking about the second round. I think that we really, really didn't do well in this first round, personally. And I think the big issue here is with the contracting process. I think we need to focus on that and fix that and make it a true negotiation process. And I think that that's what, where we need to focus on right now and not look into the second round yet. But that's my opinion. Because, quite frankly, right now, I mean, we're still stuck in the phase where we're waiting for our contract. You know, I think there's a lot of things that need to be done here that is just going to be a problem down the road.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And a question of mine is, you know, what does the contractual landscape look like for ICANN going forward? Are they trying to get everybody on a same contract, one contract fits all? Is it going to start to be a more and more bespoke world where everybody gets a different one, and then you create an uneven playing field? So I think that's a hurdle that they're trying to overcome.
Well, and I think it also ties into the marketing piece and, you know, the success of all of these new GTLD programs. Everybody keeps looking at the brands to do something.
Right.
And we're tied. I mean, we can't move forward until this piece is done.
Yeah.
So it does affect everyone else. We want to launch. We want this to be successful, but we can't because our hands are tied by this contract.
Okay, can you hurry up and get Fox over the line, please, for all of our sakes? Thanks. We're all invested here. Thanks, man. I'll pop back on the phone. Good one. All right, guys, I'm going to have to bring that to a close. We needed two more to get the Rebel money, but I reckon Rebel's going to pony up anyway. Rebel.com will pony up $500. That's my Mika Mox auctions guy, for anyone who watches. All right, guys, so we're at the end of this session. We've gone over time. A couple of things to close out as you pack up. But... let's go quickly over the topics we had. Domain name awareness, round two, remind me again, your awareness, right?
Yeah.
What these meetings should look like and universal acceptance. Okay? At the end of the day today, we will pick up those objectives and look to see how we went. I reckon we're going to get a few more ticks than what we would have, than what we had yesterday, and maybe what we would have anyways. So, two more things. One, if you listen to a lot of the discussion today, a lot of it ended up with the answer is us. Us as registries, registrars in the wider GDD community. Okay? So this can just stay here and be bullshit rhetoric, or we can actually go out there and move the needle, carry the ball forward. But we've got some work to do as a group. And this is, you know, sort of first time ever stuff that we're talking about here. Never before has the industry mobilized like it is now. It's never been bigger than what it is now. When I first went to my first ICANN meeting in 2000, it was such a small group. It wasn't very, you know, there were registrars outweighed registries by a long shot. And there was the second round of new GTLDs at the time were your .biz and .infos and everything, right? That was a world back then. What about that .biz over in Newstar?
Woo!
That's a paid compliment. Newstar putting $500 on the bar tonight for that advertisement for .biz. I think I'm allowed to do that. Where's Judy? Is she here? Hope not. Oh, shit. Okay, thanks. We're going to put $500 on the bar. All right, we're going to put $500 on the bar. All right, this bar tab's going to get good. I hope you like your cocktails, ladies. So that's it. So don't let this stay in the room. Let's make sure we mobilise. And secondly, please provide some feedback back to Cyrus and the ICANN group about the format here. I hope you liked it a little bit different than the way we were set up. We sort of set everybody up, and I think it's going to be conducive for the conversation this afternoon. Unfortunately, I won't be able to be here for it for the next session, but Paul is going to run it, and it's on registries and registrars. So, Paul, how long do you want to give everybody for a cup of coffee, mate, knowing that we're running late? 20, 25? That's a long time for a cup of coffee. People ain't sneaking out all day. Okay.
I mean, it's five after, so let's try and start at 11:30. That'll give us a good hour going to lunch. What we have for registry registrar, this is like another theme that we identified yesterday. Adrian's pulled together the commonalities and the key issues. the next session we'll still have staff in here. So what we're going to ask folks is think about the issues that have been identified, how registries, registrars, pain points can work better together, et cetera, from the perspective of engaging staff. Some of these issues clearly are things that ICANN, GDD staff can help facilitate, contracting, RRAs, RAs, et cetera. We will also have, after lunch, our closed session. Staff won't join us. So necessarily, a lot of those themes can carry over, continue on. But let's take advantage, when we come back from the break, try and get staff engaged in the discussions, get their perspectives, or put them on the spot and say, we could, if you do this, it will help us, all right? So that's the deal. Take like 25 minutes. Let's really try and start at 11:30, and then we'll go from there.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a quick announcement. By the way, I thought the discussions this morning were fantastic, extremely fruitful. Hopefully the rest of you felt the same way. I just wanted to introduce the latest addition to ICANN legal staff, Sean White. She is going to... There you go. In spite of the fact that she actually went to Stanford Law School, she's okay. She's going to be the one responsible for working with our compliance team related to your contracts and such, so it would be a good idea for you to get to know her. Would you like to say a few words?
So we can add one to the count, new speaker. We're trying to get them to add that $500 to the bar, so any effort I can move to help that, I'm happy to contribute. My name is Sean White. As you said, I'm new Associate General Counsel heading the Contracting Services Group. I won't go into my background. I'm on LinkedIn. You guys can find me. I know I will have continued discussions with most, if not all of you. I've spoken to some of you since I've been here today. And I just started, so this is a great introduction to hearing your issues. Really glad to have been a part of it, and will continue to be listening and in listening mode, and hopefully we'll take back some lessons learned from what we hear you bring out today. So thank you.
And guys, those drinks, just so you don't think I'm stitching you for them, 5:30 today, unless there's an issue that I don't know about, 5:30 down at the bar. Uh-oh. We might have an issue.
Sorry, I just see we're on 9. I'm Ollie Hope, new speaker.
Bastard.
From 9.
Bastard. We got to 10.
Thanks very much.
All right,
I did actually, as a new speaker, I did want to say, I actually really like the format that you've done here, and it is it's inclusive for me to try and get me up here to speak, which is good. So for ICANN and other meetings, I would really take this kind of format on, because I think we've said a lot of things about getting more people in the room, but a lot of it is about getting more people engaged, which
good man.
Done. So
happy birthday. It's his birthday, everybody. Is this true? Happy birthday. We'll sing a happy birthday at the bar tonight. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy your break and your coffee. I've got to get out of here before you take up the elevator.
Okay, folks, let's get started. Okay, folks, thanks for getting back. We can do this for about 40 minutes or so. We don't want to cut much into our lunch break unless folks really want to keep going because we get a good discussion going. So we noted just before our coffee break, what we have before us now, what we're going to do leading up into lunch is one of the key themes that were identified yesterday were registry and registrar interaction. So what Adrian done for us, and trust me, I'll just read his notes, he synthesized all those small groups' thoughts, identified the consistent themes. We also have off on the side some unique or specific things that were standouts that registries, registrars, and staff identified, and we can touch on them. What we're looking to do now in this first session when staff is still with us is begin a discussion on some of the common themes, things that are consistent for both registries and registrars that staff may be able to help facilitate, better understand or work through. And, of course, in our private session later, when staff leaves us, we can dig deeper on certain concerns and issues. What's been identified, some of the thoughts here, you can summarize our registry agreement and the RRA, how they're amended, are they rigid, too rigid, the equitable treatment clause that registries have towards registrars, and it's just noted as discussion, but we've identified on our list marketing promotions, specific. We get caught up in this particular issue. Maybe we want to keep the specifics for the private session. I think the people who raised the issue on the list may want to keep that for the private session, but at least for now, the equitable treatment clause in the RA and how it impacts our registrars or other issues. Given what we've already talked about, where we are, what other things do folks want, whether you're registry, registrar, or vertically integrated, and have both, other key issues that you want to discuss? This is a kind of an open floor. This is sort of the essence of the unconference, making this up as we go. We identified these themes yesterday, but haven't really put a lot of structure around it. So this is an opportunity for us. We're all together to address these concerns. We thought that the agreements were common issues that might be a good place to start, or whatever you want. You're welcome to come here, or we have these mobile mics, so we can come to you and basically want to open the floor. Does anybody want to start with something that's gnawing at them and get this discussion going? Who wants to start? We need somebody. Anybody? Bueller?
Hi, Liz Finberg, PIR. One of the things, since staff is here, that I'm curious about and I think would be helpful is a sense of, from a code of conduct perspective, A, does staff intend to conduct audits with respect to vertically integrated registries, registrars, and B, can staff envision a point at which we might get some concrete guidance on what non-discriminatory treatment of registrars means. I can tell you that we take it very seriously, and if anything, we err on the side of caution. Our sales and marketing people would say we're being overly cautious. But I do think it's something that it's worth discussing, and to the extent staff can provide any clarity on that, I would appreciate it.
Yes, hi, this is Maggie Sarad. As you heard Jan mention yesterday, there are questions in the audit, in the RFI, that will be addressing vertical integration. And if it applies to the contracted party, there will be a series of questions in there. So as we are preparing and we continue to evolve the audit program and we'll be sending out pre-audit notifications, the attachments will contain information on that, and we will follow it with outreach activities. We can address any questions related to it from that perspective. Can you, Liz, please say, what's the second part of your question?
Whether or not staff envisions providing more specific guidance, I would say, with respect to the code of conduct and non-discriminatory treatment of registrars. And I'll just give you a little bit of context. I mean, obviously, if you're a vertically integrated registrar, you've got a related business and you have certain business interests in common. And so for us, again, we err on the side of caution and we're very strict about, you know, not sharing with our registrar something we wouldn't want to share with the whole channel, that sort of thing. But at the same time, there are just certain business realities, and sometimes it's hard to know, you know, where the line is. I think we all want to stay on the right side of it, but perhaps more clarification from staff would help us do that.
Thank you for clarifying. So what we have practiced for the past few meetings since the rollout of the new registry agreement and the audits and the compliance approach to the different alleged non-compliance or real compliance issues is that at the ICANN meetings, in the registry or in the registrar closed sessions that we conduct on Thursday morning, we bring to your attention what we refer to as lessons learned. Lessons learned are not necessarily ICANN staff lessons learned, because we are all learning in this new model. I mean, we have a lot of new players, and let me assure you, I thought I'd seen it all. You guys are great at creativity, very creative audience. So what we try to do with the lessons learned is bring forward without, of course, bringing confidential information or pointing fingers. That's not our goal. Our goal is for us all to learn what are we seeing, whether it's an issue that's specific, for example, to a code of conduct or to zone file access or to data escrow. And these issues that we bring forward as lessons learned are the what we call the top 5 or top 10 issues we see. But at the bottom, in the appendix of the presentation, we keep adding to the slides additional lessons learned about how to remain in compliance or what are the things we are seeing and experiencing without, again, using specific examples. And we have had many of you reach out to us because we publish those presentations every time, reach out to us for additional clarification. So we're not here to advise you how to operate. You hear me say that every time. But if you have a question, we've said yesterday we had several meetings, one-on-one meetings, and it's really impressive to see how passionate many of you are. I felt like I was sitting in the classroom being drilled about provisions 3.78 or 3. It's like, wait a minute. I barely remember my own phone number. But you guys have, many of you have come prepared with very specific questions. And if it's an opportunity for us to share with the audience without sharing your confidential information, we will bring it to the ICANN meetings. So if you encounter something or you have a question that is not there, please let us know, and we'll try to come prepared by Dublin into that forum to work with you on it and share with you.
Thanks, Maggie. Any
Paul, we have a, can we follow on to that question?
Thanks.
Rob Hall with Momentus. So this is a, I'm disappointed in your answer. I'll start with that. So, and I'll try and ask it a different way. And please, in your answer to me, don't refer to the past or other meetings. You've got a room full of people here that are in largely two camps, registries and registrars. And I am an investor in both, so I see both sides. We've had talk on the registrar list recently of marketing programs and price differential between registries and registrars, where registrars are feeling, okay, that may be offside the equivalent treatment. There's registries, and I'm sure, and I know we are one, that say it's not. So the equivalent access does not apply to pricing. So let me ask a very simple question of ICANN. Does the equivalent access in our contract apply to marketing programs and pricing with registrars? Because I think that's the answer we're all trying to get at, is can our registry have different programs with different registrars and not even tell other registrars about it, because that's the practice that's happening and that registrars are upset about. So if you want to cut right to the chase of it, that's the nub of what we're trying to decide, is what is equivalent access and does it apply to marketing programs and pricing? And we all look to ICANN, because otherwise we're just waiting for the breach notice that may or may not come. And so we're looking directly to ICANN to say yes or no. It's inside your scope, it's outside your scope, because then we can go forward and know what the game is.
So we're here till tomorrow. Let me get back to you with a yes or no answer on that and a follow-up.
That'd be great.
Can you send me an email with that specific question?
Really?
Yes.
Sure.
I don't want to miss a point. You know me. I take it word by word and want to make sure I follow up with it and we do our research.
And I'm not a lawyer, so I don't want to fall into saying it the wrong way. So let me be clear on what the intent is. And I think I've been fairly clear on that, but perhaps I'll try again. As a registry, am I allowed to go to Jen's registrar and say, hey, I got a great marketing deal for you. It'll knock your price in half, and I'm not going to tell any other registrar about it. Am I allowed to do that?
First of all, that's the first part of the question.
Okay. So, you know, or do I have to go out to all registrars? Because the practice has been, .com, I can't believe I'm about to say VeriSign did something right, but .com would say, here's our new marketing program, and broadcast it to every registrar. And you may not qualify for it, but you knew about it. And you had a chance to qualify for it. So they might say, hey, we're going to go after the Caribbean area. So if you're in the Caribbean, we're going to, you know, give you $1.coms. But everybody was eligible or everybody knew about it. That's not happening in this new world. Now, I'm not trying to advocate it should happen or it shouldn't happen. I'm trying to say, what's the rule? Okay, because we need to know for our businesses, is that okay? Can I do a deal with Jen that I don't offer to anyone else? Because what happens is then, I almost said Network Solutions, but that's one of yours too, sorry. Other registrars go to Jen's site and say, hey, she's offering at half price, and they don't know if the registry's done a deal to give it to her at half price or if she's using it as a loss leader. Okay, so I won't use examples of actual programs going on, but we kind of need to know, does the equivalent access provision apply to pricing? I think that's the simplest way I can ask the question.
Okay. We got it. We noted it. You don't need to send me an email.
Thank you.
Thank you. We get back to you.
And logistically, we'll do that at Friday's session? If not before. Okay.
Minor related point. I was kind of confused by the reference to vertical integration, Andrew.design, and the audit. The audit. So if the questions on vertical integration were already in the audit or if they're being added and refined in future audits?
It is in the audit. But what I was trying to say is, based on the lessons learned, every time we run a program, a set of audits, we always solicit feedback. And the audits are sometimes refined based on the lessons we learned.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Follow-ons? Other questions? Floor is open. Is anybody checking Adobe? Are there any questions there, perhaps?
We just have a comment from Ken to make sure that the answer to the question is available to all.
Okay, so we've had an exchange about the equitable treatment clause and how it ties in with marketing promotions. other concerns or issues with either the RRA or the RAs people want to address now?
The registrars have a concern. Sorry, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Alejandro from despegar.com. And the topic that I would like to know better about, being recent to the whole ICANN thing, is for niche GTLDs, which will not leverage registrar ability to sell domains, but use their own distribution channels, which we already own. My question is, why would we need more than one registrar, and why is the system made to have every single registrar to be able to operate with my registry and sell my domains, when the whole marketing strategy will be taken by me and I will be the one doing the investment and the one trying to push the ball? So that is my question.
Good questions, Alejandro. Do you want to direct it towards anybody at staff, or is it open to the floor? Anybody want to take a stab at it? Everybody wants to go to lunch.
It's Rob Hawley. I'll try and give some history, I guess, to it. So we go back to the old days where there was only .com. And to introduce competition into the space, ICANN created this registrar level and said they all had to be treated equally in certainly the .com registries and that. So that's kind of the genesis of why we have a registrar level. The other key is registrars have obligations that registries don't to the registrant. And there's a lot of debate and policy around those. So I was pleased, I think, to hear you say you're happy to use one registrar, that you shouldn't not have to use a registrar. I think your question is, why do you have to use them all? And I can tell you there's some very inventive people in this room that are finding ways not to use them all. So I don't think there's any requirement that you do use them all. I think you could, in fact, write your contracts in such a way that no other registrar would want to sign it other than the one you pick. Or, in fact, write your registrant conditions in such a way that they can only deal with one registrar. So I know you feel like you may have handcuffs on. I don't think you actually do. I think you've got a lot of latitude to do exactly what you want within the contracts you have now. I don't know if that answers your question or not, but the registrars are there to ensure the consumer experience more than the registry experience would be my real answer. And so if you pick just one and a registrar has a bad experience with them, how can they switch? How can they transfer? But I think you have the tools you need to do right now if you're a little creative and a little inventive, and I'm sure there's other people in this room that will speak to that and help you if you need it.
So this is Mike, follow-up on a history lesson. As you may recall, the first chair of the registrar constituency. Where's Elliot Noss in here?
Not in the room.
Not in the room. Well, part of the reason is Elliot Noss and the religion of vertical integration. An interesting tidbit, in the 2000 round, the original TLDs of Co-op and Museum, originally in their stated application submitted to ICANN, were not going to use registrars. But it was the registrars at that time that imposed that model, which has been with us since. And we've tried to unwind a little bit of it through the vertical integration discussion. So looking back from a historical perspective, this is not something new. The very struggle that Co-op and Museum had with the registrar channel, it's been there, and it's kind of sad that we haven't learned from those lessons, in my opinion. Getting back to Rob's point about constructive interpretation of contracts, so you talk about equivalent access. I think what's also important in Spec 9 is whether equivalent or discriminatory, you're discriminating. At what point in time do we really want to get into a thing where we're wordsmithing contracts? Is that really what we want to do? Who has the best lawyer?
This is ICANN. That's all we do here. Come on.
So for someone, you and I have been doing this for 16 years, so we're really good. We have our PhDs. But for the new people in the room, is it really fair to them?
And, you know, and I think this goes back to Maggie. It would really be helpful if ICANN could provide some clarity so we could do away with some of the bullshit to provide predictability in operations.
Agreed.
So just as a quick follow-on to Alejandro and to Rob, Jim Tran, Dominion Enterprises. So as a, you know, as a new registry with restricted TLDs, I am aware that I can do something with an RRA to essentially keep some registries out. That's not necessarily my goal, but I don't think that I should have to get creative relative to an RRA in order to choose the distribution channel partners that I want to have. So the fact that anyone can come in and sign an RRA isn't all that helpful because it's not predictable and I don't have a choice.
Not anyone, just an accredited registrar.
Anyone of the 1,000 plus accredited registrars, that's right.
Okay. Reg?
I think to a large extent this is going to hinge on Maggie's answer tomorrow because we agree that there's a lot of room for creativity. And every time we get creative, the registrars report us to compliance. So.
On that note, any more follow-ups on this topic? We'll move on to the next. Okay, let me go, Paul. Registrars put up an issue related to, Maggie, this would be one that will require some follow-on from staff's part, which is better understand the differences with the registry agreements and what the modification process is and what rights or rights that registrars don't have to be able to appeal the modifications in a new RA that's been posted. Is there a formal process for RA modification and registrar input?
Thanks, Jen. Maggie? I'm just kidding. Krista Papik, ICANN staff. So this is a question. So there's a process that if a registry, there's a lot of R's and A's in this. Response. So if a registry wants to amend the contract they have with registrars, they submit it to ICANN, we review it. I'm just for the benefit of everyone in the room, going to run through that and then get to the question. ICANN reviews it, and if the changes are deemed to be material or could be material, we send the proposed amendment to the registrar stakeholder group to be reviewed for up to 21 days. And if after those 21 days the stakeholder group has no comments, ICANN approves the changes and the registry goes on with their changes. Your question or the question from the stakeholder group is if there are comments, what's the process for that? So the process is the registrars within the time frame, which we clearly articulate in the message that goes to the stakeholder group. Submit their comments to ICANN, we review them, and work with the registry operator and the stakeholder group to try and create some sort of agreement between them. I've been at ICANN for 2.5 years, in the industry for a while, but ICANN 2.5 years, and that's as formal of a process as we have right now. So, you know, if there needs to be something more formal, we're happy to discuss that. But since I've been there, I haven't seen anything more formal than that.
Yep, sure. Thanks, Krista. Any registrars want to follow up, concerns, comments, registries?
Starting first with DNS International. From the registry point of view, and I'm directing specifically at Krista,
Once we go through that amendment process and you send it through to the registrar stakeholder group and they give back your comments, do we start that amendment process all over again if there are material changes? So you take the comments, give them back to us, we have to resubmit the application for the RA amendment, the RA amendment, and the whole process starts all over again?
Thanks for the question, Vlad. It's Krista Papik again for the record. So, as I said, we haven't done this yet. And I want to see the process is published on the website, and it says specifically, well, we'll see how specific. it says that there will be a dialogue, and we'll work to resolve that. You know, maybe we can, if the consultations result in changes to the proposal, ICANN will submit the revised document to the registrar stakeholder group and open an additional review period, which will normally not exceed 15 days. Upon conclusion of any second review period, we'll attempt to resolve the remaining issues through consultation with the registrars and registry. Yes. And this is posted on the website. If anybody's interested in the link, I'm happy to share it in the chat.
So I have a follow-on to that, Krista. Has there been any thought to kind of keeping a, I'll use the word wiki for lack of a better word, of changes that have been approved? Because it would seem to me that if this gentleman went and asked for a change and I use the exact same language, perhaps that's not a material change to my contract if his has already been approved. Like, I'm just wondering, there's 500 registries in here now, and we're likely all learning some of the same lessons. And so, you know, it would seem kind of crazy that if I ask for a change to my RA that has been approved 10 times before, I've got to go through the same process. So I'm just wondering if there's any way to streamline some of the common changes you're seeing.
I feel like we have a duet going here. No, I like it. We can do Summer Lovin' or something. Krista Pavic again. So, no, there has not been any thought for an external wiki. We have an internal wiki where we keep track for ourselves of what, you know, for tracking requests for operational purposes. But let me, Ayşegül Teksay, who is based in Istanbul, is the service owner for this, so she'll take an action item for us to look into that. The thing we would, I don't, the way the process is drafted or written, I don't know if it would, so it would give people a sense of what other requests have gone out. I don't know that you can presuppose approval, though, based on the fact that the process doesn't account for that, and this process is part of, by way of, it's incorporated by reference into the registry agreement, so I don't think we could just go amend the process without amending, like it'd be a contract amendment.
I don't think you need to amend your process. The first step of your process is you determining is it a material change or not, and what I'm suggesting is I can use more latitude in saying if something's been approved 10 times before, maybe it's not a material change. So what I'm getting at is where you see repetition, you might want to say, hey, we'll approve this for any contract, and then we don't consider it material because it's been through the process a dozen times and no one's raised any objection to it. So I'm trying to help you streamline your processes here. It's great that you keep an internal wiki. Maybe when you see the same thing over and over, you could even reach out to registries and say, hey, we're seeing a lot of this. You know, if you're doing this, we won't consider it a material change.
Yeah, so I think, so let's take that back and think about it. One of the concerns that might be there, is, and this is really a question for registrars cause from ICANN's perspective, would a registrar, something that's that we deem material, would they have comments in for that change for some TLDs and not others? And yeah, I don't know. So that's something I would we would maybe want to hear from registrars about. The other thing, and again, let us take it back and look at it, an external wiki. I don't know if registries want an external place. I mean, this does go to the stakeholder group, and so it's certainly they're not confidential ones that, because it goes to a whole stakeholder group. But I don't know how the registries, and I would be interested to hear from you guys, your registries, how you would feel about having one central place where it's documenting people's RR.
Kevin Kreiser with GoDaddy. This is not so much a question, but this is kind of a comment back to the commercial and separation of commercial and policy, which 2.9A is a good example of the uniform and non-discriminatory RRA that needs to be signed. It hinders registrar's ability to negotiate, you know, with a registry, because once they sign, they're afraid to put it through the RRA amendment procedure. So, you know, the policy needs to change if, you know, the commercial things are going to change in advance. So that's just one example where you can't have them completely separated. So.
Thank you. Darcy Southwell, domain.com. So, Krista, to your point about material, and Rob, I understand what you're trying to do with streamlining it, and I think there's probably some provisions that at least our registrar would completely support that, because it would streamline it for registries and make it easy for us. But I think we're talking about what's material to that contract. And so while operationally we may have a TLD where we've gone through a modification and adjusted, let's say, a life cycle date range, that would be material to a different TLD. We would want to see that because we'd have to adjust operations. So I think there's times that certain amendments would be fine for a streamlined, if we're doing it for everyone, one registry, we should do it for everyone, but there's others that would pose some operational challenges that we wouldn't necessarily object to it, but we need to know it's coming. Thanks. Thanks.
Thank you. For Kagama Key Systems. Maybe just one suggestion for the registries here in the room. We've seen as a registrar that many registries are very happy to sign on the first registrars after they finish the first draft of the RRA. And we might suggest that that is not always the best way to go forward. I think having a consultation process would be very helpful if you have the time between the finalization of the RRA and the launch to consult with registrars if there are any problematic issues. Because once you've signed the first registrar on, that's a good sign, that's progress, but it also locks you into that contract. And another registrar might have suggestions or needs for the contract to change in certain points, and then you have to go through all this process. Whereas if you wait and consult with at least the major registrars or a majority of registrars before you sign the first agreement, have the draft out. Some registries have done that, and that's been very helpful. Then you will not have this process to go through, and the negotiation process with the registrars will be a lot smoother.
Thanks, Volker.
Others? Others want to weigh in? Pretty clear that this format is hard to get interaction going. I'm going to have to rethink this for the future. There's nothing more on this particular issue. Other things that were identified, a theme that we heard from Christine yesterday about the GDD portal and the it's called ICANN security and hardening. You know, there's a concern that if more things are ultimately plugged into the GDD portal in time, that there's greater risk, things that don't work as well as we want, things break, things get hacked. You know, I would hope that, I think I heard yesterday, that there's a lot of thought going into what that architecture is going to look like, that there will be some consultation with the contracted parties. Might be an opportunity now. I mean, back in Buenos Aires, we made it very clear. There was expertise in the room around Salesforce, and I know Leon has reached out to some folks, and they've provided some guidance and some help. But other things that we're currently dealing with, if those get, if any of those systems get plugged into a broader GDD portal, you know, there are concerns people want to raise now. We have Christine with us, so let her hear it. Don't wait.
Christine Ouellette. I'm happy to provide a little more color specifically around hardening and what we're doing on the Salesforce platform as well as all of ICANN systems. And Bob, if I'm Bob Schumacher here is part of the IT organization. If I get it wrong, please let me know. So across all systems, not just on Salesforce, IT has brought in third parties to do security audits of every ICANN system. And they're not all underway. They're being phased in over a number of quarters to do security reviews. And the appropriate patches and enhancements are being applied to those systems on a regular basis for all critical and high-risk vulnerabilities as they're being identified. So as in really an ongoing best practice, we're looking at reviewing all of these systems with regularity to have a third party look at them for this these issues specifically. And that applies to Salesforce. We've already had, is it two security reviews on Salesforce? And I think we're just starting our third. So as we make enhancements and we make changes, we bring in parties to look at the system again for further security vulnerabilities and anything that gets identified, we address rapidly, and that gets on Salesforce specifically. I've seen a preliminary solution architecture, if you will, a security architecture for this re-implementation of Salesforce. We've been calling it the GDD portal, and it includes segregating the data so that the most sensitive secure data is not accessible through public user access. So we're looking at a much more tiered, hierarchical data structure and many layers to further secure the data. We're also looking at two-factor authentication. We've talked about that a few different times. I think that came up in the portal users group a while back. So we're looking at the ability to offer two-factor authentication. From a staff perspective, it's already our Salesforce instance is behind our VPN, so we all, staff-wise, already have that access, so our credentials are authenticated. So it's, we're looking to embed really a very high level of security within the system. We're looking at the classifying the nature of the data, storing data differently, looking at encrypting data. So not that we want to turn away any offers of assistance, but we really have gone to the source, gone to Salesforce architects to bring in the resources to make sure that we are going to be implementing an architecture that is secure and stable going forward. But if there's other questions or specific concerns, happy to hear them.
Anybody? Questions now?
Is there any specific deliverables that we want Christine to present in Dublin related to this topic? Parallel tracking, timeline, systems being audited? How about I ask the question a different way? How would you like to see more specifics around the items that I just mentioned? If you do, raise your hand. So I guess you're comfortable with the approach that ICANN's taking on this matter?
One thing that Krista had mentioned yesterday is that that ICANN is collecting our inputs on what we want out of some of these different systems, and it would be useful, like, as a preliminary discussion starter to see what those are, to see what you've already taken account of so we can build on it, see the extent to which it reflects what we want. I would just be interested to see what you guys have already taken under advisement.
Thank you. I agree with that one.
I know, it's okay. Krista Papik. So I think that was Stephanie, but I could – oh, there you are. I was looking for the voice.
Yeah, so I think there's a running list of things that we've even been hearing from you guys. My understanding from working also with Christine's team and then the IT team, and as Christine was stating earlier, so we're currently figuring out what the go-forward plan is. We're very close to making that determination. And then from there, there'll be some timelines built out. And as that's happening, we want to start re-engaging with this group. And again, I'm going to give my plug. I really strongly urge other people to please get involved in this group when that time comes, because it is a small set of people who have done a lot of heavy lifting and have been very helpful, but the group is not quite as diverse as the room. And it's important to make sure you guys have different business models and you will have conflicting requirements, and we want you to work together to figure out where the best spot is in the middle. So, but, you know, once we get to that point, which will not be before Dublin, we anticipate it being after Dublin, we would want to re-engage with the users group. We'd have folks from the product management team, Christine's team, folks from the IT team, and then, of course, the services team, which is registry and registrar, there to facilitate those discussions, dust off the list, show you the roadmap, and start talking, working through requirements and sort of the future of that. So we could share the old list with you now if you wanted. I think it might be more productive to do it when that time comes, but either way is fine with me, and I'll leave it to you guys to just let us know if you want us to forward sort of where the group left off last.
I mean, I think it would be useful to actually see what's on the list even before we start to talk about roadmap and what the timeline looks like, just to make sure we know what the end game is supposed to be.
Okay, that sounds great, Stephanie. Thanks. So Dennis Chang, we have an action item. thank you.
Thanks, Krista. Thanks, Dennis. And from the registry's perspective, certainly when you're ready to engage the users and you're looking for additional volunteers and whatnot, just reach out. We'll share it on the list and try and draw out some support.
In addition to the registrars.
Other questions, follow-ons? Okay, given the energy level, I'm not even going to try and start another thread. I know people want to get to lunch. You know, recognizing this is the first time we've done a summit like this, use this format, and as we've already seen, the logistics of the room don't lend itself to a lot of interaction. I'm hoping we can get things sparked. Maybe Adrian will be back, and crazy personality will fire us up after lunch, that we have a more engaged debate. You know, it's kind of frustrating that I'm sure there are a lot of concerns people have, and for whatever reason, they're not articulating them. But we might as well break then, come back from lunch. Like, what are we scheduled? Is it 90 minutes, I believe?
90.
So come back at 2 o'clock then? It's 12:30? Yeah, so 2 o'clock.
We come back at 1:30. Sorry.
Okay, 1:30 then. Everybody, if you come back at 1:30, and staff, thank you for your time. We'll see you all tomorrow.